B-Pod Studios.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right corner now, McAvoy. Center to Cherry. Shoots off the post. That's two here in the game for the Bruins. Leads for DeBrusk. Left circle DeBrusk. Walks in. Back in. Bobrovsky the save. Reach behind him. Coleman did it for gold. And the referee is washing it out. We'll see if we get a look at whether or not this puck crossed the line as Chara gets involved in front of the net with Savard.
That puck might be in. We just saw an overhead view. That puck might be in.
Nice to hear that Chara got involved with something.
By the way, I just got an email. Thank you, Mike Behind the Mike Callahan. He said, Rich, I don't have a Bill Rickus song. He said, the only towns are the ones I did from the Five Towns in 5 days we did 10 years ago, and he sent me all of them. The five towns he did were Alston, Framingham, West Bridgewater.
West Bridgewater.
Saugus and Peabody.
Okay.
So.
I want Saugus.
We might need to go through. Well, I mean, Saugus. And you know what? The only one I remember out of all of those is Framingham.
Okay.
Because he used like a voice effect on it. I want to go to Framingham.
Okay.
It was like, you know, Maniac Mechanic at the beginning of ZZ Top.
Want to race? You bet. Haven't started my pony yet.
If you were a Hesher band in the late 70s and you had a racing song, you were pretty much headed to the charts.
Well, they did.
Two thoughts very quickly, and then I'll drop this whole Avengers thing, and then I also want to talk about the bowl that you just announced.
Yes.
People are saying that people have devoted their whole lives for the last 11 years to these movie franchise, which I think is sad. And then B, what a treat for an ACC team to be able to go to Fenway.
Yeah, well, Boston College an out for their inevitable 6-6 season. They can always just go to Fenway Park and play there.
And by the way, Spagnuolo, what is their coach? Who's the coach?
Oh,
not Spagnuolo. I forget. But he should give a round of applause because they always have kids getting taken in the first and second rounds.
Yep.
Yet they can't put it together to compete in the ACC.
Yep.
Who's the team? They haven't announced who the team's going to be yet, have they?
It's going to be, it's ACC against the American Athletic Conference.
Now, who's in the American Athletic Conference?
Cincinnati, Wichita State.
Oh, catch the fever.
Houston. Houston was the power of the conference.
Yes, Houston has rebuilt their program. All right, Billy Jaffe, he works for Neston and the NHL Network. He's in beautiful Secaucus, New Jersey. That's New Jersey, right?
It is all New Jersey.
Right near the airport.
Right by the airport, that's right. All right, Billy, all right, there's two things that we've been discussing. One, it is my contention that Pastrnak should sit for the game because even if it's mental, if it's physical, or it's a combination of both, he's been a gigantic liability. The team is worse when he's on the ice. What are your thoughts about that? Give him time to clear his head is what I think.
Yeah, not if you don't, you got to dance with the girl that got you to the dance, so to speak. I disagree with you, Fred. I don't disagree that he hasn't been impactful, and at times it hasn't been pretty to watch. I'm with you. I thought he was a little bit better near the end of the game. And
how? He couldn't move. Once he got hit, he was terrible.
I'm just saying, I think that I think you need to just put him back with Marchand and Bergeron. And because you can't put him with Coyle line. Those guys were effective without him, and they were not as effective with him in that last game.
Can I make two points? He screwed up the third line, and he screwed up the second line when he was on it. DeBrusk played better.
I'm agreeing. I'm saying you put him back with Marchand.
So he can screw them up more?
You tell these guys to listen. Here's the thing about what, you know, you're seeing the third and fourth line. When they play straight line, get the puck in hockey, playoff hockey, the kind of hockey that Columbus has been playing, they get some zone time. I would start playing at times the third and fourth line a little bit more. I would give them a little more time and say to them, look, your guys are the ones getting chances. Get out there and do more. I don't think you take Pastrnak completely out of the lineup in game four of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It was late in the year. I would scratch him. I would. I would. I'm going to go with the guy that I'm. And if he doesn't come through in game four at all, Fred, at all, and he's. Maybe there's your option, but I guess it's probably too late. But this is a guy that if he's not going to play the way that you need him to play, don't play him as much. You know, you've been manipulating or maneuvering your right wingers around. Flip Charlie Coyle on the right. Double shift him more. Give him more time then. He's been good. I would do that. I mean, here's the thing. At 5-on-5, forget Pastrnak in general. 5-on-5, the Bruins haven't been bad. They're losing the special teams battle the last couple. And especially the big boys, the Marchands and the Pastrnaks on the power play have been flat-footed. Move. Move around. I would also change the power play set a bit. I'd consider going 2 D-men. I was talking about it with Barry Peterson. I'd go 2 D-men. I'd consider McAvoy and Krug. And I would just, I mean, look what Columbus is doing. They got guys out there. They're simplifying it. Get the puck, retrieve it, back to the point, shoot it. That's what they're doing. Stop with these fancy plays. Enough of it.
Yeah, but I do think Pastrnak's one of the big offenders with that. I mean, he had a play last night where McAvoy makes a great play. He busts through the defense. He clears the blue line, gives it up to Pastrnak, and Pastrnak just wheels around and gives it right back to Columbus.
Yep, you're right. I know. Well, maybe you don't. You know what? Maybe you just don't play him as much. I don't. I'm just. It's just a gut thing. I just don't take him out of the lineup. I just don't think it sends the right message. And even though you can hold accountability, you know, I know what you're saying about everybody should be accountable. He's not playing, we'll take him out. I think from my perspective, I play him. It's a short leash. And if it's still more of the same, then I just don't play him as much. And I start playing other guys more on that right side.
You made the point of you got to stay with the person that you took to the dance. You've obviously never seen Pretty in Pink. Dickie gets lost, but he knows it's best for Molly Ringwald. All right, so the other question that I have is Brad Marchand. Do you think he'll be suspended? And if so, do you think a player with a lesser track record would be suspended?
I don't think he'll be suspended. I don't. He's going to get talked to by the league. Player with a lesser track record would definitely get talked to, but definitely wouldn't. I don't think would be up for, you know, even the outcry of suspension. It was a stupid play. I mean, if I'm Columbus, I'm happy as all heck right now. I'm so happy. You know, I've got Brad Marchand doing that. You know, I got him. You know, giving a guy a jab in the back of the head. When he doesn't need to do that. I've got Marchand sitting in the penalty box a couple of times, and he's one of my best. You know, players that I need to worry about or key on. Think about it. He's sitting in the penalty box. They're like, we don't need to key on him anymore.
Right.
I mean, this is great if you're Columbus. You're just like, we've gotten him off his game.
And you have the added advantage of having 2 minutes of straight possession on your power play after one of his penalties.
Right. I mean, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it was a stupid play. I don't think, you know, there's any way around saying that. I don't think it's suspendable. Do I think it's dumb? Yeah. But thinking it's dumb and suspendable are two different things.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that he should be suspended. And if I'm the league, if you're looking at it with any kind of eye on marketing, St. Louis final is not going to move the meter. So I would be praying upon the NHL, the Bruins, to stay in this thing. But, you know, that's looking at it in a way probably they don't judge by. But if I could tweak it anyway or justify not suspending Marchand, I would.
Well, I just don't think you're suspending him for that play. And I know there are people that have been out there. The beauty and the beast of social media is how dangerous and how this is just it sends such a bad message. Oh, but guys are getting hit in the head all the time. Both straight on and sucker punch. They are in battles and scrum. And it was stupid. Again, I'm saying it's not a good play. It shows where his head isn't.
Yeah, he's frustrated and it's not focused on being offensive. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to see guys get hit in the head. I don't. But this is not, in my opinion, it's not a suspendable offense.
All right, Billy, how do you break the concentration of a hot goaltender? Sergei Bobrovsky is the epitome of that at the moment. He's got great skill, obviously, and he's got great luck as well. I mean, the two shots that hit the post he didn't see until they were by him, and still they stay out of the net. So what, other than, you know, puck retrieval, get it to the point, shoot it at the net, other than the obvious, what is there left for the Bruins to do to get him off his game? Do you have a guy, quote-unquote, accidentally run into him? How does this work?
Well, you get a guy who's standing around him all the time. There's no doubt about it. So when the second chances become available, he's there. And he did make a beautiful, stellar save on Bergeron in game two. Because where was Bergeron, Johnny? Right in front of the net.
Yep.
And now, where have Duchesne's last two goals come from?
Right in front of the net,
based on rebounds. So that the Bruins have to establish inside positioning. How do you do that? You spend less time on the wall, retrieving, meaning trying to chase pucks. The Bruins, when they have, at 5-on-5, they've done a pretty damn good job. I mean, they really have. Now, but they need to get more traffic in front of Bobrovsky. He's a lower goalie. If you watch his set, John, you notice how he gets lower?
Mm-hmm.
He gets down like a Jonathan Quick. He's what, 6'1", 6'1.5 or so. He's not small, but he likes to play low. Well, to me then, I'm getting pucks back, I'm shooting up high, and I'm seeing if I can get a body in front, have it hit somebody, and then get a rebound. There's no secret sauce to this recipe. There's none, because he's hot right now. You've got to push him back in his crease, shoot up high, and see if you can get a rebound. But if somebody's not, and I'm talking, John, a difference of a foot makes all the difference in the world, or 2 feet. Get to that mm-hmm. front of the net. Get there that much more.
All right. Billy Jaffe, are you discouraged? Have you changed your opinion of this series?
I am, you know what I'm seeing? I'm cautious right now because I'm impressed with what Columbus is doing. And I think that, if the Bruins can't make the adjustments, then Columbus will do what to Boston, what they did to Tampa. So am I discouraged? I'm not going to get there just yet, but I'm cautious, Fred. There's no doubt about it. I'm impressed and cautious right now. Paul, how's that?
How does a man kill a day in Secaucus before they have to be on television? Because drinking's out of the question.
What do you think? Come on. You always make fun of me for getting a workout.
All right, so good. So there's an hour.
Down to the AM, PM to buy lottery tickets?
Unless you're like, doing a set and then walking around for 5 minutes. I mean, like, so that's an hour of your life. I don't make fun of you for working out, by the way. I make fun of you picking hotels based on the quality of their gym.
And by the way, that's a good idea. Right? It's a great idea.
I work out every Super Bowl because there's nothing to do.
That's right.
All right, but go ahead. So you spend an hour working out, and then what do you do?
Well, then I have to get into the studio here between like 11:30 and quarter to 12 because I'm doing a late afternoon show. So it's almost like a 9-to-5 job. I'm doing a bunch of interviews today, and then I look out my window at the little strip mall that they have here, and I pretend that there's something good to go do over in it, and there's really not much, and then I work out. That's it. I sound like that fitness club commercial. I work out, like Arnold. There's not much to do. That's the point. There's not much to do.
All right. Well, it's one of those places that you're probably glad you have work to do 9-to-5. All right, exactly. Billy Jaffe, you've done nothing to convince me that they shouldn't sit Pastrnak tomorrow, but it was fun having you on nonetheless.
Thank you. I'm curious to see. I wonder if a Wagner or Backes will come in. Coolman wasn't bad, but I wonder.
I thought Coolman was good.
Yeah, he did his job. I thought Achari was good too. So there's, two of your right wingers that were good. Danton Heinen. I have no issue with Danton Heinen. When he's out there at times, he does well too. So I'm curious to see if Bruce Cassidy makes a move in his lineup, Fred. Very curious.
All right, thank you so much, Billy Jaffe.
See you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Towards the end of the game, Pastrnak was good?
Better than what he... I agree with Billy in that, like, 2 is greater than 1 on a scale of 10. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look worse. He actually looked better skating with Bergeron and Marchand. I hope to God he's hurt. I really do. Because if he's not and playing like this, that's really bad news. He's got to be hurt.
Yeah. I don't think it's a punishment. I just think that you give the guy a break. You just go here.
I think the threat of him finding himself somehow or some way on the offensive end of the ice. I'm not even talking about effort on the defensive end. The threat
of him somehow the puck goes in off his skate like it did in game one, or he snaps a shot that beats Bobrovsky high side glove and magically that gets him out of his slump.
Oh, sure. If he's
it's like a great hitter going 0-for-20 and then bloops a single and goes 10 for his next 15.
And it's an old saying that in hockey, once you see the puck go in the net, then it opens things
that's
up.
That's why you have Pastrnak out.
Well,
there.
I'll tell you this, if they suspend Marchand, then you can't sit Pastrnak.
Well, of course. Right. Of course. But I'm with you. I don't think they'll suspend him. But as I said right at the beginning of the show, the door's open to do it simply because of who he is. He'll get a fine.
If they suspend him, it's just...
He'll get a fine for doing crap. A fine for stupidity is what that'll be.
Mm. Mm. I didn't spoil the movie for you.
I know.
I'm not going to.
And you're a better man.
I'm not going to.
You're a better man for not doing it.
I'm not going to.
Wow. I feel special. Thanks, Fred.
And half of that is because considering I read it and I have no idea who half these people are.
Well, like when I've Rich only was, seen about four or five of the 22 movies, but I'd still like to see this one fresh.
When Rich was doing, it was very funny, but when he's doing the fake spoilers at that Star Trek, yeah. Star Wars thing, I like Star Wars fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize any of those names.
Oh, really?
None.
See, I knew all of
them. I didn't see the three like that came after.
I did. And two of the three were horrible.
Yeah, so I watched the end of the one where the mask comes off at Darth Vader.
Okay.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
The guy kills himself at the end of a Star Wars War. All right, so we'll be right back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
I'm sick of the NHL. This season has gone to hell. We all want to scream and yell because there are no games. Why can't they just get it done? Hockey games are so much fun. We suffer in the long run because there are no games. We're sick of waiting. Pissed off, we are hating. The pain it's creating. What the hell are these guys thinking? Hey, I love hockey. And this is crazy. But end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe. It's hard to live with. Out you hockey. But end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe. Hey, I love hockey. And this is crazy. But end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe. And all the Bruins fans are very angry. So end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe.
Ninety-five, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is Mike behind the Mike Callahan. We've been here since 2006, so he's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a, you know, high school should hire him. He's almost like Billy Joel with the song We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah.
Like you listen to him and you can kind of follow Northeastern history. You can follow Boston history.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because he rips things out of the headlines like Octuplets.
Yeah, he does do that.
The
yes.
Octomom. He rips the Craigslist Killer song.
Yep. And this morning he gave us like a brand new song about the Bruins.
It was a mere 2 minutes long.
It's playoff hockey and we want the cup. It's playoff hockey and we want the cup.
So that was kind of the gist of it. He just tweeted it out, but
is that the Peanuts song?
No, that's Nutty, isn't it? Nutty. It's like one of those old timey.
It's a song that used to be the theme to the old TV 38 broadcast with Fred Cusick and Derek Sanderson. The people who used to watch the Bruins. That's why it's there.
A nod
to Charlie Coyle, and we've got Charlie McAvoy.
A nod to the old timers.
Yep, that's what it is.
It is. But when we played that, Scott Zolak tweeted us. Actually, him and Hardy play the Bill Ricka song that he did. When I emailed Mike behind the mic because I couldn't find it. And he said, I don't have a Bill Ricka song. I did Five Towns, but Bill Ricka was not one of them. I did Alston, Framingham, West Bridgewater, Saugus, and Peabody.
Saugus is the best.
And so, Saugus. Okay. And so I just went and I listened to him. And, I mean,
The man is a treasure. not playing all of them. I just took out a part of like a couple of them, but then there's one I'm just going to let ride.
All right.
So there was the Russ Bridgewater one, which gave you the hooky chorus of
West Bridgewater. Good times here are always good.
Wow, he changed that up so much.
Dan's saying I should play the whole one of that one. I don't know. We'll see. I'll send it to Mike. I'm sending it to him right now.
All right.
And then there's Alston. You know, of course, everyone loves Alston.
We used to be right next to Alston. Yep.
We did. So there's a...
Come to Alston. Come to Alston. It's a neighborhood that's part of Boston. This is common knowledge. Most people here all go to college. Come to Alston, come to Alston. It's the place to be when you're in Boston. Ask the local guys here, and they will say we can get drunk here.
Okay, sorry, that's a little bit of that.
He is so current with his... His picking of songs is his dedication to the oldies.
But you knew that when he was called on to write a song about the greatest city in the entire state.
Oh, tell me you're going to do it.
That he was going to step up big time. Matter of fact, I think that we should petition to make this the official song of the city. Mike behind
the mic. No one else is going to write one.
Give us your song about Saugus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a mystery. This is the place to be. Why would you go anyplace else? Hooters is down the street, as is Kelly's roast beef. You should come here somehow, some way. We got the Square One Mall, a historic town hall. I'm going to Saugus now. Swampscott's got the beach, and Lynn is within reach. But I'm going to Saugus now.
Hell yeah. You covered all the bases.
Yeah. By the way, I believe in every one of the songs he mentions what mall is in the city.
Now listen, the man loves, he's a shopaholic.
He does love the malls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes there and he hangs out and he, you know, rides the escalators and tries to pick up chicks.
For the cup!
Yes, it is for the cup, as a matter of fact.
Let's play off hockey and we want the cup. Let's play off hockey and we want the cup.
All right.
So is this as Mike sing the songs, then add the music?
Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I'm from Borica, too. And I know one of the his name is Marky Mark, who sang the Borica song, but I believe he took it off the internet.
No, that is...
No, it's not Mike Vine and I, Callahan. No, only he can sing songs about the... I just when I heard that, I'm like,
Swampscott's got the beach.
Indeed. All right. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I know it seems crazy that we're actually talking about benching pasta during the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but I'm just going to bring up one thing that I wasn't sure if you guys picked up on. Towards the end of the game, Bruins are down 2-1. They're scratching. And Jake DeBrusk crashes the net. Two guys start, you know, just wailing on him. He's in front of the goal, so they're doing what they got to do. But when I swear to you that pasta is within an arm's reach of Jake DeBrusk, staring at him, now battled for, what, 90 games plus the preseason, which, you know, doesn't matter. But you guys have been at it all year long, and you're watching your boy just get hit in the face. His head's down. He's taking a beating for trying to win this game for you. And you're just sitting there. He just looks so disengaged, so disinterested. And I just... For something like that to happen this late in the series, and he's not playing well, and I get that sometimes you go through slumps, that's normal, but to not even, you know, engage physically when you're right in, you know, you're down by one. You got to know the situation. This is the, if the Bruins have any chance of winning now, it's got to go to six. So, right. I mean, if Boss is not going to be doing anything, which I get, I mean, like I said, if he's in a slump, he's in a slump. But if you're not going to be doing anything, why not trade him for a David Backes for or a Chris Wagner? Trade him for 6 or 8 hits a game, because we're going to 6, boys. So if we're not going to beat him tonight, let's wear him down and beat him in 6 or beat him in 7. I mean, am I crazy? Or?
Well, I mean, Pasternak's more than just slumping. I mean, he's a liability on the ice. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
There's a major magazine that is going out of business.
Cat Fancy?
Not Cat Fancy, not Teen Beat either. And also, Pete Davidson ends up bailing on a comedy gig and makes a video that backfires on him.
Pete Davidson with his fake relationships?
Those are real.
No, the one with the older lady is not real.
Beckinsale? Oh, yeah, she said it was.
Oh, okay. You know, Hollywood, all the time, publicists put people together.
Why would Beckinsale need that?
Because I haven't heard Kate Beckinsale's name since this. Because you saw what happened with Ariana Grande.
She would need Pete Davidson?
He is being followed. He is about one of the biggest tabloid stars right now. If you don't think if you think that was a real relationship.
I think it was a fling. I think they were together for a little bit.
And their first date was at a Rangers game where they were publicly making out. Mm-hmm. No, that's fake. That was fake as the day is long.
I mean, she might like the fame, but I think they were dating.
Nope. I know Shannon Elizabeth was in a fake relationship with some singer. Mm-hmm. Why is that funny? I don't
dude
remember
from Game 6? No, it's just Shannon Elizabeth is extremely random.
She was famous at the time. Brian Sack. Brian Sack was friends with her,
okay.
and was aware of this fake relationship. As much as I dislike Kevin Smith, he's been very open about
mm-hmm.
these fake relationships. Google it. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So Pete Davidson is going head-to-head with a comedy owner because apparently the guy, the owner of the club, referred to Kate Beckinsale and Ariana Grande while introducing Pete Davidson. Now, because of that, he canceled his gig. He was supposed to play Monday night at Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory in Bridgeport, Connecticut, but he never made it on stage. So Pete is claiming that Vinny disrespected him and did something he told him not to do, and he can't perform under those circumstances. Immediately after
then how about don't publicly make out with two famous women?
I mean, that's a great point. So
I mean, he's been riding that. Do you think it's any coincidence that all of a sudden Pete Davidson's in skits on Saturday Night Live since he's become famous?
Because if you're asking me if it boosts his popularity, I would say absolutely
yeah,
yes.
But they're shoehorning him into sketches that he doesn't belong in.
On top of that, he has been making jokes about it in his comedy routine. I mean, part of like the breakup with Ariana Grande has been he's made jokes about it. I mean, he jokes about his life, but there have been videos of him since then making jokes.
He did on Saturday Live. He did it when he was on the Weekend Update.
So here is a video that Pete Davidson made immediately after canceling. He was in his car just leaving the club. And here's what he said.
Hey, guys, in Connecticut. I'm sorry that we had to leave the show before I got to go on. The owner, Vinnie Brand, disrespected me and did something that I told him not to do. And I can't, you know, perform under those circumstances. However, everybody who got tickets to that show. I am doing a free show for you guys. We'll figure out where it's going to be in the next week, and you know, we'll get it all sorted out. Sorry again. This is not your fault.
Okay, so that video was posted. Meanwhile, inside the club, the owner went on stage and he was pissed off that Pete didn't do it, and he played Pete's Instagram video right there on the big screen at the club. And as you heard there, even though Pete offered to do a free show, the crowd was pissed. Someone yelled, F you, Pete. And according to the clubgoers, Vinny did mention Kate and Ariana beforehand, but only because he was asking the crowd not to heckle Pete about his girlfriends. Vinny said those were the ground rules Pete wanted, and they had agreed that anyone who did shout anything like that would be removed from the club. Apparently, they did not want a repeat of what happened during one of Pete's shows back in February when he was heckled about Mac Miller. But that's a guy who died. That's different. Like, that's, I don't know why one would be the other. One is something that you've publicly joked about in the press. And the other one's like, you know, someone yelling something about a friend of his that died.
I don't know. People get heckled at comedy clubs. And if you're a comedian, and he's a good stand-up. But if you're a comedian, you got to be able to handle hecklers.
And then according to TMZ, they said sources connected to Pete Davidson tells them that he felt like Vinny, the owner, was overly sarcastic when he told the crowd not to mention Kate or Ariana.
Oh, well, that's good.
They added,
it's good that he's becoming a diva, because I see a huge career for him with what a mess he is. Continue.
Real quick, just before I finish, without thinking, when you mentioned that, I almost think that just knowing his history, this might be less that he was a diva than he's just whacked out.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
And like, he was paranoid or something and freaked out. Vinny asked if he could do an opening set, but Pete said no because he travels with his own opening comic, but Vinny went ahead and did a five-minute set anyway. He said, overall, we're told Pete's camp thinks Vinny killed the energy in the crowd by giving them a list of no-nos for
the
show.
All right, here you go. Every comedy show I've ever been to, outside of a massive one, is that, like, I don't think, like, the Vinny Paul's, you know, laugh
stress factory,
like Chuckle Hut, is like this, like, you know, massive plays. There's always an MC that does 5 minutes, and most comedians that are at the height of Pete Davidson's fame travel with an opener. But I mean, every comedy club has a guy that comes up there and has got to like read the menu or like whatever the hell else is going on.
It's part of the gig.
And by the way, you have to be able to handle hecklers. I mean, you're a seasoned comic. That's part of the gig. And if you want to do something to waste time at work today, YouTube comedians coming back at hecklers.
Oh, man. I saw one in person, and it was the most masterful comeback I've ever seen. And you have to kind of, I mean, if you work enough in the industry, you start to figure out, you see the way people handle them,
yes.
You learn things, and you become a pro at it. I saw Eddie Griffin one time in concert destroy this guy, but he deserved it. He wasn't just going after somebody. It was a guy in the front row who was like yelling at this dude, and he just kept yelling at Eddie Griffin. And Eddie Griffin, for like the whole show, was being as polite as possible. He was like, man, we're just having a good time. Hey, can I get you a drink? You know, let's get this guy a drink. Let's let him have some fun. And he just kept yelling and yelling and yelling. And at one point, he was like throwing money up on stage. He threw like a dollar up on stage at Eddie Griffin. And Eddie Griffin goes, oh, a dollar? And he reaches his pocket, goes, here's a $100 bill. And he threw it in his head. Now get the F out of here. And the place went,
yeah.
Oh, it was awesome.
Best one, though, is Bill Burr in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's touching the sun.
But that was, yeah, I mean, Bill Burr doing that is
the problem great. With that is that he started to get heckled at all those virus
so
shows.
They would do that? Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
He was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. My act is
if
not.
You're so good, you can't request it. That's yeah. not how it works.
Like, that's like, you know, a stream yeah. of consciousness. Yeah, right. Like every gig I do, I'm not going to start right. ripping on the city. So, you know, stop heckling me.
Like, let's have a good time.
Because, like, when I did the Chip Chipperson podcast thing in Somerville or wherever the hell it was, I bombed. I was terrible. But it made me feel better when I was reading about that virus tour. That the majority of the comics got booed off stage.
Yeah.
Like they just, because the opening Anthony's audience is so incredibly mean, like and jaded, that like even like famous, really good, you know, seller comics were getting booed off stage. So it made me feel a little bit better.
I got a friend who was there said you didn't do that badly.
To me, I'm not used to getting like booed after I tell a joke. So, like, it felt really bad.
At least not to your face. I understand. Yes.
I'm sure people... I say being on the air and saying something unfunny happens to me all the time, every day. But when you're with
Anthony and Jim were super quick.
And they've got that
together,
chemistry, too.
And they've been together for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're just sitting there, and I don't want to step on anything, and I don't want to stop their flow.
And you also know that they brought you up there for a reason, so you want to contribute.
Right, and but I also, like, have a trouble hearing, and then Nick was there. It was the most difficult entertainment situation I've ever been in. And no fault of Jim's, and he was great, and he invited me back, and da-da-da-da. But when you get booed after you tell your first joke, you're kind of like, all right.
Let's
how am
keep
I going
rolling.
To navigate this?
Well, here's the club owner afterwards. He played the video, and here's what he had to say to the crowd.
Hey, this is a message for all my patrons here at the Stress Factor, okay? On no way in the world would I ever disrespect any comedian. And if you look at the walls of the Stress Factory, you will see bona fide superstars that have worked for us for years. D.L. Hughley, John McAdama, Andrew Dice Clay, Chris Rock, the names go on and on and on. And Pete Davidson, I didn't disrespect you. Your security guy told me to say what I said.
If you went up there and they said, I don't want anybody up there heckling him about Ariana Grande, and he went on stage and said that, and he's bitching about how it backfired, Pete Davidson is, then what? I honestly think it sounds like he's just whacked out on something and got paranoid.
Don't heckle him. My Lord. Like you said, like Chris Rock gets heckled.
Oh, sure.
Like guys playing arenas get heckled.
Yeah, but he's a master at getting back.
If you're, first of all, to be playing at like that level, I think Pete Davidson's been doing stand-up since he was like in middle school. So, I mean, he's a seasoned stand-up. The idea of asking not to get heckled is fascinating.
I know, because it's just asking for it. Whatever you do, don't heckle this guy. And immediately go, here we go. It's a challenge for all of us.
I mean, these guys, by the way, work their material at small clubs. I mean, you could be at the Comedy Cellar or at the Comedy Store and, you know, Chris Rock, for instance, can go up and he's working on his act.
There was a tiny comedy place in Reykjavik that was right near I was, and I missed by one day Bill Burr working on his set.
Bill Burr in Reykjavik?
Bill Burr was in Reykjavik.
Really?
Like, I mean, like the day, it was Sunday night I got back, and I see on Instagram he's saying, hey, I'm going to work on some new material. And I'm like, what? Like a block away from where I was staying, Burr was like working on material there.
Yeah.
So you got to go to Reykjavik to not get booed, apparently.
I mean, there's guys doing material that they know's not going to work. Like, that's not going to all land. And they don't care because they're working on it. Like, if you have a special coming up, you work on your material at clubs. And with that constant work, like, Ray Romano still goes out and does the Cellar.
Sure.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't know who Pete Davidson thinks he is, but all right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news from last night. Brad Marchand, not involved in this.
That was good.
No, in all seriousness, Kyrie Irving, not involved in this. But there was something that happened last night that has taken the world by storm. It has just been uncovered. The scene, Atlanta, Georgia. The studio, TNT.
Yeah.
The show, NBA on TNT. The culprit, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Ernie Johnson.
You be the judge.
Dumbass. Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man. Yeah, dude.
I think.
And then Ernie Johnson stands up after that and, like, covers his face and has to walk away. And it's nothing.
Is that a Shaq fart?
There's nothing particularly funny going on between Charles Barkley and
I think it's Shaq. If I had to guess, I've seen the video. I think it's Shaq.
Hang on. Let me listen one more time. Is this indeed Shaq farting?
Dumbass. Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. Tell me.
Yeah, that's Shaq.
I mean, that. Is it Shaq? Because I always thought Shaq's would have a little more bass.
You think
like, there'd be a little more depth to the...
He's like a woofer?
His body position involved. He's the seat, the cushion on the seat. Come on.
Well, you cannot overrule Kenny Smith or Ernie Johnson as they are, like, really laughing. And with laughter, your sphincter can loosen up.
And sometimes they're laughing even louder to cover up things.
Like, you're snorting laughing. I mean, that could end up with a loose sphincter.
Dumbass. Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. Tell me it's going to be some fun.
I mean, what else could that be?
Did he tell you? Did he go, I told you there's going to be some farting going on here?
Do it again, Chuck.
Play the clip you played before that.
Dumbass. Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, it's going to be some fighting.
So Chuck.
I think he might have said that.
Actually, but it's like fighting.
Shaq admitting that he dropped it. It's absolutely Shaq.
Do it again, Chuck.
See?
So there's your breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Shaq.
I'm glad we played the sounder. That was important.
And by the way, if you watch the video, it is a full shot of the team. And there is no one's making a mouth noise.
No one is making a mouth noise. That's
at least one of them is
depth.
A ventriloquist.
Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man.
That will never not be funny to me.
See, if I had to guess by the tone of it, that's probably a Kenny Smith fart.
I think it's an Ernie Johnson or Kenny Smith.
No,
I'm going Ernie Johnson because Ernie Johnson then stands up and starts walking around.
To shake it loose a little bit.
And I think he's the one who's snorting.
No, Chuck is snorting.
That's Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is a snorter.
Okay.
He's the one who's snorting.
Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man.
Well, a full investigation is needed. We'll call
science. Up. Yes. Science in the touch room.
I'm a nice man.
Oh, no.
Do it again, Chuck.
I'm a nice man.
Do it again, Chuck. Oh, man.
That was a sigh from Kenny Smith. Like a relief.
Do it again, Chuck.
All right, Scott Zolak, how you doing?
Good. We're ready to go.
Good. Do it again, Chuck.
Coming out on both, you know, the drill. This Mike Behind the Mike Callahan thing made my morning because we went back and I always told Bon Jovi this, play the hits. Don't need the new stuff. New songs suck. Go back to the live.
The new song is fantastic.
New song blows.
It was
His
long.
Old stuff is so much better. And I forgot he didn't like Bill Ricken.
We want the cup. Let's play off hockey and we want the cup.
Now, go back to Peabody, you know, Framingham, that stuff. Those towny songs, Octuplets.
You're never going to be able to top that
because of the creativity. And I went down this wormhole because I'm friends with him and his girlfriend Bridget on Facebook.
I appreciate every photo you send.
They've been on a lot of cruises, and they like taking selfies. I take less selfies. That's all I got.
You know what I'm guessing? A fear of the dentist.
Just brush them once, man. Just give it a shot. Gargle. Oh. You know they get dumb and dumber when they're trying to shave the feet? They got the grinders out.
That's not a man who's...
That's not a man who's fond of dentistry. Hey, water picks. Something, man. Pressure
one. Just go through. Stick your head out the window with the car wash.
3,500 people. PSI pressure one.
No, he's short. No, here's the goal line. Damn, what are you looking at?
It's the one time you did play-by-play with
him. Give
me
it again. Right. Give me one more time.
Yeah, all right. Here we go. It's
Hernandez.
Goes in for the touchdown.
No, he's short. No, there's the goal line. Damn, what are you looking at?
He will fill in for Bob Sosi when Bob gets sick.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, lots for you to talk about today. Lots to talk about. Unfortunately, none of it good.
Oh, man.
I imagine your first hour will be spent on the fart. But, oh, boy. Have a good time today, Gorman. Because I'm running on empty.
Him straight, Freddie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.